My friends, I am Vivian McPeak, and this is Hempresent. If you have feedback and would like to suggest a guest or topic for Hempresent, email me at hempresent@gmail.com. I greatly enjoy hearing from you, the listener. Today's guest on Hempresent is Dan Herrer, the son of the legendary hemp advocate Jack Herrer. Dan was born into the hemp movement, and today he carries on his late father's legacy, yet on his own terms and in his own way. Herrer balances multiple roles as an industrial hemp developer, a hemp entrepreneur, and he is the director of the California-based Jack Herrer Foundation. The foundation leads with a philosophy that hemp education will change the world, with a primary goal of reintroducing the hemp plant's history back into the educational system. The foundation is currently developing a mobile touring hemp education center and Jack Herrer National Hemp Museum. This effort will allow the foundation to take hemp education literally to the streets, featuring a nationwide educational tour. If Jack Herrer could be called a warrior and activist for the movement, which he was, Dan carries the family torch in hemp advocacy in the role of an educator and influencer, and he's here to educate us a little bit about all this today. Welcome, Dan, to Hempresent on Cannabis Radio.
Thank you for having me, Vivian. Long time, brother.
Yeah, man. Well. Absolutely, my brother. Absolutely. You know, you're aware that I had the good fortune to have been friends with your father, Jack Herrer. I've also been blessed to know your whole family, and it's just so great to have you on the show today. Dan, I want to get into everything that you've got going on. But first, if anyone was the father of the hemp movement, it is Jack Herrer. And a lot of that had to do with his groundbreaking 1985 book, The Emperor Wears No Clothes, which is 330 pages of illuminating news clips, factoids, stories, all about how hemp can change the world. I'm just curious, when did you realize that your dad was on a mission? When did you become aware that your dad was Jack Herrer, the Hemperer?
I would almost say that it never really was like how I looked at my father. I just looked at him as a really driven person. But I started to figure that out in the mid 70s, as he started the California marijuana initiatives following Prop 19 in 1972, and his passion and absolute obsession with researching and finding information and exposing and teaching the truth of cannabis as he was becoming to know it was just part of our normal everyday upbringing. So I never looked at him as the hemperer. I just looked at him as back in the 70s and 80s as my crazy father. I did realize by the time that the 90s came around and his voice became ever present across this country, be it following Dead Tours or participating at Hemp Fest for nearly 20 years with you and the amazing folks that have tried to really illuminate not only the truth, but the possibilities of cannabis and hemp through your amazing, events in Seattle, that I started to realize that, that he was on a mission far beyond being a father of six and a husband to Jeannie. It was at that time I realized that the mission that he started back in the 70s, even though at the time I thought he was crazy, and even in the 90s and 2000s I thought he was crazy, it turns out that he may have been crazy, but he wasn't wrong.
He was crazy in the right way, man.
Yes.
Do you remember when The Emperor Wears No Clothes was published? Were you able to track its growth in popularity and influence? I mean, it happened reasonably quickly.
Well, I remember my dad, before the first publication. I remember him sitting at an old broken down desk in our house in the San Fernando Valley, hammering out on an old fashioned electronic typewriter. you know, just snapping the keys and sliding the return back and forth as the pages would come out, and he would rip the page out of the top of the typewriter, and he'd fling it over to me and say, "Here, what do you think of this?" And I was like, "Wow, Dad, you really are crazy." but you know, I didn't really see it, because, you know, sometimes when you're so close to something, yeah, you don't see its evolution, you right. know, like you, it's like, you know, you don't see yourself getting old, but you are, you know, you don't realize that you've gone from a teenager to an adult to an elder.
Right. Cause it's just part of your reality, right?
Yeah. So it was never something that we tracked, not like we track things today, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, the only things that we tracked back then was, where was my father, what event was he on his way to, and how much money did we need to send him to fix the van that broke down on the way to it?
Because he was always on the road, man. I mean, Jack was just a tireless campaigner on the road, going to from event to event, speaking, proselytizing, you know, about hemp and cannabis. I mean, just driven.
He was a force, you know, and he was an unstoppable force. You know, other than health issues, there was nothing that would deter him, that would dissuade him, that would convince him that the road and the path that he was on was one that wasn't worth taking. He knew that it was. He believed in it with his whole being, the whole of what made my father who he was and what he represented was exactly what people saw, was this incredibly driven, you know, don't take a lie as something that's okay to live with, and that if we don't get the truth out, then we have no future. And that truth was the truth of cannabis and the truth of hemp and the opportunities that would, you know, give us not just the ability to survive in a future, but to thrive in it. And how do we get to that point? How do we re-educate people? And for my father, that was going anywhere and everywhere, whether it was this country or another, and bringing this book, this information, and his passion to elevate, encourage, inspire other people to find their voices and to stand up in their communities, in their state, in their city, in their country, and demand that we re-examine our relationship with this plant and bring it back to its full utility, so we can actually live on a planet for the rest of our lives and our families' lives and their families' lives and their families' lives, and so on and so on and so on. So we don't have to look to other planets in order to have an existence in some distant millennium. And it was extraordinary once that the revelation of what it is that he represented and how it was starting to change perceptions around the neighborhood, the state, and then other states, and then gradually around different countries about the world that he had traveled to. It was extraordinary at that time to recognize that there was a change at hand.
I think it would be hard for a young person today to truly comprehend how radical and controversial Jack's message was back in the day. I mean, he was taking risks by being this vocal. You agree?
It was, and the risk was real. The risk led to multiple arrests and multiple incarcerations. The risk, was mired in even this community, this cannabis community, this marijuana community, this pot community, this cannabis community, literally didn't understand how to deal with my father in the early years, because his message was so different than anything that any of us had ever really embraced or learned or studied, that, you know, his realization that this plant was so important important and so imperative to our future that you know, he was literally looked at as not only crazy, but even possibly bad for cannabis and bad for, you know, legalization. And even with that, and even with, you know, organizations like Normal and other activist organizations looking at my father and saying he was too radical because the truth that he was speaking was so polar opposite than what people had learned, and realizing how difficult it would be to change minds and ideology, that it was considered problematic, and it would possibly make the cannabis industry look foolish or dumb because somebody would go out and say that cannabis is going to save the world, or
right, you
know,
right.
And when, you know, it's no different than, you know, in a lot of ways, it comes back to, you know, I don't want to really compare it to religion, but in a sense, it's like you have to have a belief in something that sometimes you can't touch and you can't see and you can't, in those days, it wasn't something that was tangible. It was something that was thought that could be, but only if you were able to access it, and we had no access to it. But his belief was as it existed. And the reason was because it existed before it became illegal. It existed in every country and every continent, and it was a part of every culture around the world. And he embraced that and said, this is what, you know, people around the world, this was the first ways to circumnavigate the globe and create mobile commerce, you know, or global commerce. This was how we ate. This is how we lived. This is how we clothed ourselves. This is all of these things that propelled societies forward, and with safety and security was in a large part due to cannabis and its attributes. And so even though it wasn't available, in the same ways because of, you know, the onset and then, you know, post-prohibition, that it didn't dissuade him from trying to, re-embrace and share this information to change ideas. And I would say, you know, now 35 years after this book was published, we're no longer in a sense of what do we do about this plant. Most countries now are trying to embrace it and saying, how do we use it? How do we bring it back into our societies? And I think, I think that his passion and his unyielding energy has, you know, created this opportunity for literally the world.
And you know, so much of Jack's message has turned out to be prophetic, because we see it all happening before our eyes right now. I'm talking to Dan Harrer. We're going to take our first quick break and come right back with more information about Dan's legendary father and his work in the Jack Harrer Foundation today.
Time to roll out for the people that let us Hemp Present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Elevate your everyday with that Shuggies feeling, with the sweet taste of Shuggies. Add a cup of Shuggies to your morning coffee. Ah, how sweet it is. Shuggies infuses cannabis and cane sugar to make it the perfect sweetener with benefits. Make your happy hour happier with a dunk of Shuggies in your drink. Order your Shuggies now at shoggies.com or find it in dispensaries throughout California. Whenever you crave a little sweet, pick up Shuggies, the sweet, sweet take anywhere treat.
We're back to Hemp Present, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong Hemperer of Hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we're back on Hemp Present with Dan Harrer. Dan, we have seen, you know, your father basically gave his life to his cause to legalize cannabis and hemp and spread the word. I mean, he did not stop even after he had a stroke. He kept, most people would have been done, and he just came right back at it and wasted no time, learned to speak again, kept speaking the whole time. I mean, about as driven as anybody would be. And now here we are in 2021, and we have multiple states flipping. We have recreational cannabis available in retail stores, brick and mortar stores. It just seems like we're preparing for some kind of a sea change. What do you think your father would think about the current status of cannabis legalization? I mean, a lot of us in the movement are dissatisfied with the current status, yet acknowledge that we've come real far. What do you think your father would come down on that?
Well, you know, that's a real double-edged sword, as you said. You know, on one hand, he would be extraordinarily proud of most of the people within the space that have continued to fight and exposed the truths and the necessary, you know, accepting of this plant within communities, to embrace it and create businesses and create jobs and create, you know, tax revenue from that income, from those jobs, to create medicine that's available, to, you know, any and everybody who would, need it, be interested in it. And, you know, I think that on that, in that sense, I think he would be proud. He would be proud of the ways that we're starting, even without real complete access to all of the things that we need, like banking, things like, you know, public-private support for building infrastructure for things like hemp and cannabis endeavors, that, you know, the people within this space are creating the products that he envisioned and foresaw, like plastics, like papers and concrete and hempcrete and other building materials and clothing and all of these different non-consumable from a smoking standpoint products. I think that he would be extraordinarily humbled by the community that has put themselves out there and created these products. On the flip side, he would look at the absolute, can I cuss?
Yeah.
Because I've got lots of, you know, but I, you know,
can cuss on the show.
My father would be fucking furious at the way that the government has literally continued its deception with this new, you know, they you know, people say to me that there's legal cannabis. Well, I don't know where anywhere there's legal cannabis. I know where there's paid access to cannabis.
It's commoditization. It's commodification, not legalization.
But it's beyond that. It is the way that it's being embraced by the politicians in these communities is, you know, borderline state-sponsored extortion. It is, mm-hmm. Yes, you know, the citizens of a community vote to leave, you know, to have cannabis access. And then the state goes, okay, well, you'll have cannabis access, but we have to put parameters around it because they still tell the lies that it's this most, you know, this most addicting drug and it needs to be protected. You know, the community needs to be protected and all the same lies that they use to create and focus in prohibition are now being applied to, you know, access to cannabis. We're having to go, you know, into dispensaries that are set apart from anything and set away from anything. Can't be near a school, can't be near a library, can't be near childcare, can't be near X, Y, or Z because of its danger, you know, yet. And then at the same time, you know, they put all these parameters in, and I'm not talking about safety. You know, the safety of a product that is now a national consumable product needs to be safe. It needs to have testing. I'm completely on board with that. But when you look at how those things are implemented and described within a community in order for that community to have access, and the parameters from a compliance standpoint are absolutely freaking absurd, because we still know that this plant has no attributed deaths to consuming cannabis and causing a death, you know, yet you can go into a Rite Aid or a Walgreens or whatever, and you can walk in there pushing a stroller with your kid and a backpack with another kid, either on your front or your back, and walk up to a prescription desk and stand there with, you know, some girl or some man, you know, standing there saying, oh, here's your, you know, let me see your prescription. And they go behind a little thin film of plexiglass into the storage, which is plainly visible for anybody that walks into the store, and see all of the most dangerous, deadly drugs known to mankind, all right there. And then on the way out, they can buy their Snickers bar, they can go buy their scoop of ice cream at the front if you're at a Thrifty's or Rite Aid, and be on your way. But with cannabis, they're like, oh, you've got to go to the, you know, you've got to go to the dispensary, and that dispensary has locked doors, and, you know, key in and key out, and we're watching you walk in and we're watching you walk out, and if you work there, we're watching you go through this door that tracks your movement within the store. And it's just absolutely
it's ridiculous. It's
and,
there
and it and, seems... and it's harming everything about cannabis and the hemp. And now they're even starting to get into hemp as this dangerous thing, and using the same lies and the same and the same disinformation in order to stifle hemp in the hemp industry.
It seems
and
like
it's maddening.
It seems like prohibition on the it seems like legalization on the prohibitionist terms. Still,
well, absolutely, because they're requiring us to put this product is dangerous. This product is, you know, on our products that they know that aren't dangerous.
And when in reality, a child could eat an ounce of cannabis and they're not even going to get high. But if a child ate a pack of cigarettes, it could kill them. But is a cigarette pack in childproof container? No,
no.
But you have to burn cannabis for it to be psychoactive. So a child, if a small child got a hold of cannabis, they couldn't even get high off of it.
None of it makes in the form of an edible.
So, yeah, unless it's an edible. But if it's just raw bud, right?
Yeah. So bring on raw bud. I'm into juicing my flower. So, you know, bring on raw cannabis. Yeehaw. I'm all for that. But the reality is everything that is being structured in and around the access to cannabis is still part of the lies and disinformation that created prohibition. There is no difference. We're not living in a community where the government is allowing cannabis access or the rules that are allowing cannabis access to be based in fact. They're still based in lies. They're still based in fear and control. And that is the most upsetting thing. I think my dad would be absolutely furious. I think he would still be yelling at the top of his lungs. You know, I'm not that person. When my father was an activist, it was about being loud. It was about being, you know, as literally as loud as you could. And today we're trying to, you know, we're trying to communicate through more gentler words, through education, through, conversation at the table. But the reality is that this table is not very open to actual facts. And as much as we've tried to educate those on the other side of this table that are, you know, contributing to what the parameters are for us to operate as cannabis or hemp companies, you know, they're not educated. They are driven by the same lies that they grew up with and not the facts that we know today.
I am talking to Dan Harrer. We're going to take another break and come back for our final segment and hear about the Jack Harrer Foundation. So don't go anywhere.
Time to roll out for the people that let us hemp present. Hang loose. We're coming right back.
Hey, take a look at this. They're selling smart pots.
They have pot that can make you smart? Where is it?
Not that kind of pot. Smart pots are the best aeration container to grow your plants. Check this out. This is the original fabric container for faster producing, healthier plants. They're made with a superior fabric that delivers high yields. Plus, smart pots are reusable and sustainable, so you can use them over and over again, no matter if you use them indoor or outdoor.
That's very smart, but how good are they for the environment?
Smart pots are BPA-free and lead-free, so you'll always be able to ensure a pure, clean grow, and they're 100% made in the U.S. Over 28 million smart pots have already been sold, so it seems like a smart investment.
Look for smart pots in close to 2,000 garden centers throughout North America and ask for the original fabric container. Find a store near you or order yours online at smartpots.com.
We're back to Hemp Presents, only on Cannabis Radio. Now, back to our headstrong hemperer of hemp, Vivian McPeak.
And we're back with Dan Herer. Dan, tell us about the Jack Herer Foundation. What is the good works that you people are doing? And I know that you have a dream of a mobile touring hemp education center and Jack Herer National Hemp Museum. What's that all about?
Well, after my father passed, there was, for me, there was this, besides the void of not having him in my life every day, there was a level of I wasn't hearing the education that I had grown up with still being a part of the community. So I started the Jack Herer Foundation, obviously in his name, and to try to continue to bring this information, to republish The Emperor Wears No Clothes, to make sure that it never goes out of print, that it's always accessible. And I've done that through Amazon, and so you can go and get a digital copy of The Emperor Wears No Clothes for $9.99 through Amazon. That's also interactive. But the foundation is to try to continue to educate folks, because people think that that legalization, that we don't need to educate anymore because we have access. And so the foundation is to let you know that education is still a main priority, because we need to create smart laws and better laws than these mandatory panels that dictate the cannabis regulation. And with the foundation, we hope, and we've been going around the country, going to different events like NOCO, the CBD and hemp events. I've spoken in countries from Nepal to South America to Morocco and over in England and Spain, to really continue the work that my father did in exposing the fact that, it's not just about being able to create a product. It's about creating understanding. And by creating the mobile education vehicle and putting that on the road, we could go to places like, state and county fairs. We can go to colleges and be there for a weekend or a week and really educate a multitude of students and help them to understand that, cannabis access is not as easy as we would like. The understanding of it is not as clear as we need. The truth of it is still being, obscured by, the lies and falsehoods of prohibition. And, by being able to go out and bringing cannabis products and cannabis education and cannabis documentation and archival, footage, documents, artifacts and bring literally a version of a museum right to somebody where they can feel and touch and see history and not only see what history is, but see what we're doing today in cannabis, knowing right. that, Mercedes and BMW and these car companies are embracing cannabis and their parts are being made from cannabis, but those companies aren't talking about it. But by being able to bring these products to them and people can see like, oh my God, the Mercedes that I'm driving, the door panels are made from cannabis. That these things are eye-opening information that people just don't have an understanding of. And by being able to bring something to somebody directly in communities that don't have access to a lot of activism or education within those communities, that we can take the falsehoods out. We can get people right. to understand that there's another narrative that's actually based in truth that has the ability to lift their communities up instead of tear them down with the lies of prohibition. And I think that is exactly what my father would still be doing today.
And you can tell whose son you are. Dan Herer, my good friend, thank you so much for being on the show. Give my absolute best to Mark, Jancy, River, and Jeannie, and anybody that I may have missed, my friend.
Thank you so much. Many blessings. And, I love and respect you and everybody that you work with at HempFest. You guys have done an extraordinary, immeasurable, benefit to everybody, whether they believe in cannabis or hemp. or not, the things that you help to expose and bring forth are changing lives every day. So many thanks to you, my friend.
All right. Take care, my bro. That concludes this installment of Hemerson on Cannabis Radio. When it comes to prohibition, you got a right not to remain silent. Activism requires a voice, so find your voice and speak up for justice. Now it's time to turn up the music, maestro, because I'm out.
Marijuana!
The opinions expressed on this CannabisRadio.com program are those of the guests and hosts and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of CannabisRadio.com. Any rebroadcast, republication, or retransmission of this program without proper consent is prohibited.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.